Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. It's a new summer era. We don't wanna see the errors. We fighting against each other. It's a love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. Knowing through all, keep on going. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Gotta get on your grind, don't confuse your mind. Let that dream come true. Stop playing a fool, chatting to my soul. Praying for forgiveness, never get lost in the world of sinners. While I'm trying my vision, seeing knowledge is given, knowing what's been hidden. Living life, only good intentions, not playing the victim. Spending my strength to perfection. Success is your best liquid. Becoming one of noble reflection. Positive vibration in the spirit. Turning for the moment with a blessing. Remember this lesson. Truth be told through these confessions. Why you guessing? Stop stressing. Stop stressing. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to another Indie Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And as you know, I've been off for a few weeks. I had some issues. I mean, some computer issues as well as some personal issues. The computer issue that I had, I finally got that right. It turned out that I had to get information from our executive producer, Angela Royal, that it could have been a situation wherein I wasn't using the proper browser, internet browser, and it turned out that that was the situation. I mean, I had no idea that was the case, because I'm using Mozilla, and then because of the upgrading on Windows from Windows 7 to Windows 10, they have a different browser. They have something called, what is that browser that they have? I can't even think of the name of it right now. But it'll come to me later on, maybe. But terrible, I can't even think of that name. But anyway, well, that's the browser I was trying to use, and in trying to use that browser, I was trying to log into the Dollhouse site via that particular browser. But it turned out that somehow or another I couldn't log into the Dollhouse site with that browser. But once I was told about trying to use a different browser, that worked. And then I was able to come back last week, but then that's when a personal situation had kicked in. And I don't want to go into all the details about that. But, well, you know, but I will say that, but it did concern a girl who's a friend. I won't even say girlfriend, but a girl who's a friend and a woman who's a friend. One of those situations, but threw me down for a minute, but, you know, we bounced back. I mean, positive people are like that. So tonight we have a lot of topics to go into. Well, not a lot, but a few. And also some miscellaneous topics to get into. But the main topics tonight will be President Obama My Nigga. And the second topic will be Prince's passing. The third topic will be the LGBTQ community in corporate America. And the fourth topic will be the Congressional Black Caucus. I hope we get into all of them, but if not, we will, you know, have an interesting conversation anyway, or some things that I have to put out. I hope everybody do, in fact, like listening to and will in, join in on the conversation, or more so add some more input, some things I may not know, or some things that I might disagree with, because I'm quite sure that nobody agrees all the time with all that someone says. So with that said, first off, I'm going to start going on into the show, but first with a few miscellaneous, but nevertheless, just as important issues. And the first thing I want to say is happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And in saying that, I have something I want to read into the show from a woman who is also a mother. And this woman, she happened to be a registered nurse in a rehabilitation program that I was once in. And let me say that that was my first program and my last drug alcohol rehabilitation program. God bless. They even say that concerning myself that I'm like the poster child for that program, being that I guess we can say I'm doing so well, having come through it and not having had to come back through it again and again and again. God bless for that. But they give me big respect for that happening or not having happened. But anyway, her name is Miss Anderson. I will put her name out there. Her name is Miss Anderson, and she is, like I said, a registered nurse. And we are also Facebook friends. And in being Facebook friends, I happen to have seen a post that she had posted concerning Mother's Day. And just saying, I did ask her, when I had read it, if I could, you know, repost what she wrote on my timeline. I consider that just respect. Yes, I do. I mean, it was suggested to me that it was respect, but I kind of always thought it would be respect to ask the person who wrote something if you can or cannot repost what they wrote on your timeline. Okay, what she wrote was this here concerning Mother's Day. She wrote, Sunday is Mother's Day. The day calls for remembrance and recognition for all mothers in the world who are or were mothers to their children. All women who had and have children were not mothers to them, and it's not their day just for giving birth. Each woman who gave birth to a child they did not mother should celebrate the day of their child's birth as their birthday. However, Sunday is for the mothers who loved, and cared for their children. Great sacrifice of love and caring, regardless of circumstance, means something so special to the children that received it. Some women did not give birth, but mothered others' children. So Mother's Day is their day. My mother, she writes here, my mother, in my heart and eyes, was the greatest woman in the world of all times. She loved my sisters and I unconditionally, and we loved her. She was from Georgia and was born in 1922. Her goals and dreams were to make sure we did and had everything, so be it, we did. Her greatest desire was to assure all of her daughters were college educated, and we are and were. We are all professional women. She lived for a mere 55 years and passed on when I was 25 years old. Two sisters were older and three were younger, but the life lessons she taught us when she was here allowed for us to be our best after her spirit left. She lives on today through us. We talk about her and live the lessons she taught us every day. What I am saying today is, if you have a mother that loved you and cared for you, let her know how much she means to you while she is here. She is not going to be here forever, for we all must leave. My mother had been gone for 39 years, and I truly still miss her. I hear people talk smartly about their mothers with never a thought about the sacrifices and love it takes to raise children. Honor her and love her, regardless of her idiosyncrasies and appearing overbearing concern for your well-being. Remember, she was there when you were born, helpless to the world. Pray you will be there for her as she was for you in the beginning. Celebrate your mother whenever her spirit may be. More so, celebrate your mother wherever her spirit may be. And if you are a mother, then celebrate yourself. Happy Mother's Day. That was from Miss Patricia Anderson. She's retired now from her registered nurse position out there at the program that I was once in. And God bless her. I really do appreciate her. Matter of fact, it was through her coaxing that induced me to get a laptop. Because prior to then, a laptop, a computer wasn't even on my mind, wasn't even in my thinking. It just wasn't. I heard about them, but I never thought I'd own one. But then again, consider, remember, I was at that point in time coming fresh out of addiction, which is something I always say that I'm going to talk about one night on the show. But I've got to get that situation ready. But I will talk about that. But anyway, well, Ms. Anderson has suggested that I do get a laptop because she saw that I was, well, curious about everything. Well, a lot of things. And her and I, we have some great conversations. Yes, we did. So, okay, that I wanted to have read that in the show, you know, in commemoration of her in particular. Okay, so moving right along, but before I do, I want to give out the caller number here to the show, which is 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And another article I want to go into is something that had been posted via Facebook, a Facebook friend of mine, Stacy Patton. You all have heard me mention her often on the show here, Dr. Stacy Patton. A really, really enlightened woman she is, very much so. She had posted this video of a white woman who came to sit on a bench, and some guy, a white guy happened to have been, had he was sitting there also before she came. He was reading a newspaper, and he happened to have looked over at her, and said to her, you know, why don't you smile? As if, you know, well, I don't know. I just say, you know, but I don't know. But then she kind of took offense to that, which she should. After all, he didn't know her. She didn't know him. So in a real sense, I mean, why should he say something like that to her? I mean, he doesn't know what's going on in her head. He don't know what just transpired with her 5 seconds, a minute, or hour ago. But he's just going to tell her, you know, why don't you smile? Anyway, concerning that, I'll kind of read the, a preamble, so to speak, to this. And after that, I'm going to read some comments that have been posted after the video was seen by those of us on Facebook. And naturally, one of my comments is there also. Anyway, it says here, a video that shows the phenomenon of mansplaining, so humorous. They call it mansplaining. Strange word, but, let me read that again. A video that shows the phenomenon of mansplaining, so humorous. A woman sitting on a bench, a man she doesn't know is also sitting on this bench. He said to her, suddenly, she must smile. She can't believe it that he dares to afford to tell her what she needs to do. He told her that if she smiles, she will be more beautiful and that all women are smiling. She calls then all the women of the surroundings so they can hear the advice of this man. A crowd of women runs toward him. It's like, hey, some guy knows what we all should do. Come along. Come hear what he has to say. Come hear what this oracle has to tell us all to make our lives better. It was funny. Interesting. But anyway, one of the replies that was written there, matter of fact, I was the first one. I had said, basically, because I've been there, I've been told that, I had written, black people are told the same men, women, boys, and girls. And yes, there is a smile that blacks know to put on their faces in the presence of white people. I've come to call it the white-appeasing Negro smile. If whites only knew, that's not a smile at all. It's simply a thing of showing or displaying all 42, or is it 48 teeth, with the lips pulled back. I've seen it. Never done it, but I've seen it. It's actually ugly. In fact, early in this video, this woman did it well. And yes, she did. It was awful, but he didn't see that. Anyway, it's 15 minutes to the hour, and we're going to go into our first music break, and we're going to come back and hear some more comments that were commented upon this particular video. And you all should try to pull it up on Facebook, especially you all that may be Facebook friends of mine. It's on my timeline. So having said that, we're going to go into our first music break, which is a song record from Myla J., featuring Myla J., the song is called Diamonds, featuring Drake, and from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go.
Yeah. Phone's blowing up right now, but I ain't tryna talk, I'm tryna feel the fire. All my bitches fucked up right now, but got the jewelry on me, now I'm tryna keep it tight. Now my nigga, he been tripping on me all week. Now I'm tryna get my mind off the shit, and you know what I need. Yeah, and I don't give a damn who sees, I'm tryna be. Slipping on, don't bury on for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I'll let her push the phone right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. He don't want no liquor cause he been drinking that dirty. Bring the eight spot in case my bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me.
Talking to your friends like you usually do. Telling them I never spend time with you. It's hard to find the time we've been
slipping on, don't bury on for no reason. Popping tags up a echelon for no reason. Seen this bad little Jones, she was perfect. I'll let her push the floor right now if she worth it. Falling in the middle of the club, no jersey. Bring the eight spot in case my bitch is with me. Bring some ice for my cup, my drink with me. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing. Diamonds, 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 diamonds on me dancing.
And if you took it, you can vouch for me. I did it my way, you can vouch for me. I put the cocaine and the powder in the couch on me. Whenever I step outside the house, I get the Glocky on me. Bad bitches wanna come by the paparazzi on me. I got so many bad bitches that I barely wanna. I'm barely paying attention, baby, I need substance. I know you spent some time putting on your makeup and your outfit, but
dirty, you know.
Welcome back to Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard a song from Milo J. With Diamond featuring Drake, and it's from the CoverGirl mixtape. Yes, I had said that kind of wrong before, but we just heard a song from Milo J. With Diamond featuring Drake, and from their CoverGirl mixtape. Okay, I'm going to continue with what I was just reading about that video that was posted on Facebook from one of my Facebook friends concerning some man, anonymous man, stranger, telling this woman to just smile. Anyway, another Facebook posting from that particular video, someone has said, funny, I hear this from more black men, though. Furthermore, I never hear my husband being told to smile as much as I am told that. The numbers, I highly doubt, are the same between black males, boys, and females, girls being told or asked this. Okay, well, this particular comment, later on, I kind of replied to what this person has said, but I'm going to read the next comment. And the next person has said that, I never heard a man being told to smile. And I've never been told to smile by a white person, only black men. And then another Facebook friend of a friend had posted, I'm a jovial person all day, every day when in the company of family and friends. Also, I smile when I want to smile, not because I need to smile or because someone else would like me to smile. Other than that, I have no particular reason or requirement to smile for anyone at any given time, just because. The nerve, as the video clearly demonstrates, it is first condescending, unsolicited, or more so unsoliciated. That looks like how that word is pronounced, unsoliciated, unwarranted, unnecessary, and advice that is definitely not appreciated to tell or ask any woman to smile. Bottom line, all women, which is what the post is about, specifically for me, my focus, black women to be entitled to their body, to their body's choices, expressions including faces and their emotions. And I have written, I've got no argument with that. I only indicated black men, women, and children are offered the same suggestion, also unsolicited. However, with some blacks, I'd surmise white women too, they acquire the ability to have an ever-ready smile for those whom they feel they owe something. Actually, I don't know why or how that is. I only know it is that way. Then I had wrote something further. I had written, would you agree or disagree that the number of unbroken... No, let me rephrase that. I had written, would you agree or disagree that the number of us broken down, compartmentalized, acts to do this is inconsequential, but it's the aggregate that counts. Just saying, as I said, never did this. Just saying, as I said, I never did this, but that doesn't mean I didn't consider it. Excuse me. I recall being at the workplace back in the day, going into a bathroom and looking in the mirror and trying to practice that. I decided this is ridiculous. As time went along, and people, white people, would ask me how come I never smile, I'd reply, in honesty, I haven't heard anything funny. You got to know that reply wasn't liked at all. It's interesting, though, that in this day, I'm constantly asked how come I'm always smiling. I hadn't known that I'm smiling so much in this day. It was brought to my attention that I do. Some blacks in particular have asked me, yo, what are you on? As if I must be on some kind of drug to have such a cheerful mental disposition. It's almost as if a process of osmosis has taken place within me. Whatever, this is strange to me too. In this day, I'm even in the workplace saying to others on any given day, happy whatever day it is, like happy Monday. And you know how most people hate Mondays. I kind of chuckled at that. But, you know, I just thought to myself, perhaps I had used the wrong word there when I had said it's almost as if a process of osmosis had taken place within me. Because I think I had used that word there out of context. I should have used the word metamorphosis, not osmosis. Metamorphosis is different than osmosis, naturally. But yes, as reading this again, I see that I did use the wrong word. I actually meant it's almost as if a process of metamorphosis has taken place within me. Interesting. But sometimes writing quick, because a lot of times when I'm on Facebook in this day, it's more so early in the morning when just after I'm getting up, half showered, drinking my coffee, and I might get a thought or something, or I might be, scrolling down my Facebook timeline, see something. I say, okay, I'm going to respond to that. And because, remember, it's in the morning prior to me going to work, I got to rush up to the workplace and get there on time, in time. And a lot of times, well, neither here nor there, but I make it. Okay, so that was that about that particular situation of people telling somebody, you know, to smile. But like I said, with myself, at a particular point in time in my life, I actually tried to do that. I was in the military at that point in time, and I was going through a whole lot of nonsense. And, you know, and everybody around me, you know, it was said to me often, you know, how come you never smiling? How come, you know, not that I looked angry, but, you know, it was like they would have felt better if I was showing all 42, was it 48, just smiling. Or looking like I'm smiling. So, you know, I was aware of that because most of the people around me, black people in particular, they always looked like that, had a perpetual smile on their face. But then again, it wasn't really a smile as I came to see through one guy. But anyway, I figured, you know, let me see if I can put that on my face. And I actually went to the bathroom, and I was trying to do that. Yes, I was. But the shit looked ridiculous to me. So I said, man, fuck that shit. And I just, you know, carried on the way I carried on. You know, I haven't heard nothing funny. I wasn't smiling. And besides that, there wasn't a damn thing to be smiling about also. So let me give out our calling number quickly here. It's area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Okay. I'm keeping an eye on the clock for the next music break. I don't want to miss that. Certainly do not. Okay. Anyway, the thing I want to go into next is another Facebook conversation I was having with some people on Facebook. And it was concerning a political issue with Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Actually, this conversation began to have these back and forths, me and a Facebook friend and some friends of hers, and also a friend of mine there on Facebook. The conversation started because of a article that was posted about the Trump campaign having put out some anti-Hillary campaign buttons. And actually, they were quite offensive. I mean, you know, some of the people even called them misogynistic. You know, basically that is the word that they use. They said, well, you know, what misogyny, you know, being anti-woman, for those who don't really know that word, misogyny, misogynistic, that word. So let me see here where I should start there at. Okay, because the conversation, it kind of went on and on, on and on and on and on. And it somewhat started because I had posted right below that article, you know, that I have zero sympathy for Hillary Clinton. None. And I don't. I just don't have no sympathy for her. I don't even consider her, not really, because like I always say, in my opinion, she is amoral. I mean, some people say some people pronounce the word immoral or amoral, but basically, she's someone who lacks morals, in my opinion. Nothing means nothing to her. And like I always say, as I said, to her and people like her, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. She's one of those people. Anyway, one of my Facebook friends had a Facebook friend of mine had posted, "We're supposed to continue to hold our nose and pull the lever. Our past in terms of voting for Hillary Clinton. We're still being shisted on regardless who's in. Black folks still getting shot dead in the streets by police and us. Gays got mad advances under this POTUS. What did we get? I'll wait," he says, in terms of a response or reply to his question. And then someone had replied to his comment by saying, "Not holding your nose and not voting won't get rid of the stench of racism in this country. I'm just saying." That's what that person said. And then another person has said, "Voting for Hillary is not going to do it either, sister." I won't mention her name. I will mention her name. Her name is Desiree. God bless her. We are Facebook friends. However, on this particular issue, her and I are really in disagreement. I mean, our opinions seriously diverge. But on most other issues, her and I mean, we can talk. I mean, our thinking is more in sync than not. But on this issue, we are totally at odds. But at least she hasn't unfriended me. Well, for one thing, I would never unfriend her. But you know how some people get on Facebook when you're in a disagreement, and depending upon, I guess, how much one holds that opinion, I mean, how can I put it? It all depends upon how much reverence, I use the word, yes, it all depends upon how much reverence or how much sanctity one gives their opinion, depends upon if they will or will not, you know, unfriend you based upon your disagreement with them. But as for me, we're just voicing our opinions. You know, it's all, I don't mind. I mean, talk about these situations. No need to get hostile and unfriend someone. That kind of reminds me, I had posted on her wall. I had seen something on the internet, and I made sure that I post it on her timeline. And, you know, she deleted it. That was funny to me. I said, wow, because I had thinking about what I had posted on her wall, I had gotten a thought to post to that. And I went to post it, and it had said, this posting has been, what did it say? It said that it has been removed or is no longer available. I thought, oh, well, she took it down. Interesting. Well, anyway, and another comment was, and my friend who had posted that first comment about not holding your nose, he further went and said, what gets rid of this stench is us working together as people, like every other ethnic group does. And then someone has said, sometimes, I think it was Desiree, she has said, sometimes we have to make the best decision possibly in the most difficult situations. I don't believe it's fair to blame HRC. That's what she says, meaning Hillary Rodman Clinton, HRC. She says, I don't believe it's fair to blame HRC for the murder of a dictator that was propped up by all dictators. I'm just saying. And then my friend, right now they're talking about the Libyan situation with Muammar Gaddafi. And my Facebook friend has said, Africa loved Gaddafi. He did a lot for black Africans. Hillary was a Goldwater Republican back in the days. We as a people do better under pressure. Bring on Trump. That way we'll start to work together. We only do that when the heat is on, so bring on the heat. I'm tired of waiting for us to come together. That's what my Facebook friend has said in response to what Desiree has said. And then not a Facebook friend of mine, but a Facebook friend of Desiree. She has said she was 14, you know, crip's sake, when she supported Goldwater. Get real. But however, that person fails to realize, but I'm going to hold that thought and come back, because right now I have to go on to a music break. But I'm going to hold that thought. When I come back, I'm going to further go into that. So right now we're going to have another song from Myla J entitled Don't, again from the CoverGirl mixtape. So this is Myla J, her song Don't. Here we go.
don't play with her, don't be dishonest. Ay. Still not understanding this logic. Ay. I'm back and I'm better. I want you bad as ever. Don't let me just let up. I wanna give you better. Baby, it's whatever. Somebody gotta step up and let somebody saw next up. Be damn if I let them catch up. It's easy to see that you're fed up. I am on a whole nother level. Girl, he only fucked you over cause you let him. Fuck him, girl, I guess he didn't know any better. Girl, that man didn't show any effort. Do all I can just to show you you're special. Certain it's your love that holds me together. Lately you say he been killing the vibe. Gotta be sick of this guy. Pull up skirt, get in the right. Left hand is steering, the other is gripping your thigh. Light up a spliff and get high. Shawty, you deserve what you've been missing. Looking at you, I'm thinking he must be tripping. Play this song for him, girl, I'm just listening.
Keep it 100, man, ain't gon' shame. The way you put it down, he deserve everything. Oh, baby, I swear he holds it down. Yeah, he holds it now. So down.
Welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And we just heard another song from Myla J entitled Don't. And that's on the CoverGirl mixtape. Okay. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And call in and bring up anything that you want to bring up, even on what I'm talking on or what I've talked about, or even something that you might think I should be talking about. I'm down for that. I mean, I'm open to all suggestions and opinions. I like them all. I like to talk. I like to, get involved with conversation. Okay. But going back to the issue at hand, I was just on some Facebook posts that had been posted concerning an article that had been written on Hillary Clinton. And the last post I had read out there was one of my friends has said concerning Hillary Clinton that she was 14 when she was a Goldwater supporter. And she even says, get real. However, that friend of a friend, I guess, tends to have selective amnesia, that is, remembering what she wants to remember and forgetting what she chooses to forget. And for one thing, Hillary may have been older than 14 when she was a Goldwater supporter, that is, going from door to door, knocking on doors, helping the Goldwater campaign, Barry Goldwater, a staunch segregationist. So one can only surmise that if Hillary Clinton was stomping for Barry Goldwater, you know, in support of him, she also held those anti-integrationist views or outright segregationist views. And some say, well, okay, she was 14, 17, 18, she was young, she changed. But consider or remember this, or we ought to think about this. She wasn't 14 or 15 or 20 or 30 when she had, when she was throwing support behind the crime bill that her husband had signed into law. She was an adult person with a supposedly rational functioning mind. I guess that part by that person who says, "My God, she was only 14." I guess this person forgets that Hillary Clinton, you know, is now being brought up again that she was flinging the phrase around concerning black people super predators. And one can only ask what kind of mindset would throw such a label on black people, a super predator, in terms of what, criminality. When for years, we might even say for centuries, after slavery or even during slavery, black folk were considered some kind of thief or criminal. Well, back during slavery, we were just considered thieves. They thought that we were always stealing something. And a lot of us were because we was hungry. I mean, that's another issue. But yeah, but so, you know, coming on forward to today, I mean, a super predator. You know, somebody, a predator, you know, a predator is something, a predator is an animal basically that preys on other animals. More so than not, weaker animals than themselves. Or an animal that they know that they can, a predatory animal is one who will take on another animal that they know or it knows they can take down. So, you know, that was somewhat disingenuous for this person to have said, "My God, she was only 14, for Christ's sake, when she supported Goldwater." And then furthermore, someone else has said here that Trump is not presidential, is any way at all, and would like to be super aggressive war-wise and gay-wise and anti-Muslim-wise, anti-refugee, anti-Black Lives Matter movement, anti-supportive services for vulnerable folks, likely to get a nuclear war going with this, with his vitriol, and don't even get me started in his horrific sexism, and he would make the police ever more violent, especially towards non-whites. That's what one Facebook friend has said. And then my friend had just responded in saying that, "I'm not voting for Billary," and that's that. He called Hillary Billary. And then it was said, another friend has said, again, "That's your right. Just understand the full implications of not voting." And then someone else has said that, "Well, if Trump gets in, you can't congratulate yourself." And my friend said, "I overstand and I'm ready for it." And then I had to, and then I had added in here that Bernie Sanders is at least talking of doing something different in and with this political system we all know is so askew. Hillary Clinton instead is talking the same old work the best with what we got. She offers nothing new or different unless she comes to the understanding is working well for Bernie Sanders. For me, there's no question of who to vote for or not vote for. The only time I voted was if there was someone to vote for. What Bernie Sanders is saying has given me someone to vote for. Is Hillary still not wanting, and then I just added, you know, as an aside, is Hillary still not wanting her speech behind closed doors made public? We'd have never known what Romney said behind closed doors if not for that video recording. Just saying. And then another person has said, "I've never been a fan of either party. The Dems, excuse my language, piss on us and tell us it's raining. The Repubs couldn't care less about us." And then I had responded to someone who had said that, "Well, if Trump gets in, you can congratulate yourself." To that I had responded, "No, if Trump is elected, you all can congratulate yourselves for not voting for Sanders." And then my friend Desiree says, "I respectfully disagree. Most of the accusations leveled against HRC, that's Hillary Rodman Clinton, is basically right-wing Republican lies." She really believes that. She really does. And then someone else had laughed. He said, "Ha, ha, ha, best joke I've heard all day." And then she says, "I have not been a Bernie fan since day one. BS." And it's terrible that they call him in a slanderous manner. They just put his initials there, BS, as if in bullshit. I think that's highly offensive. Bernie Sanders, you know, an acronym, BS. That's what the supporters of Hillary Clinton does to his name. Just bring it down to those two initials, Bernie B. Sanders S. And in real sense, it's Hillary Clinton who's full of bull cookies. That's my opinion. And then another friend of hers, who is no doubt anti-Hillary, he said that Hillary would be better for the military-industrial complex, which is only true. And then I had written in the prison-industrial complex. She advocated for it. Now, due to protests against it, she acts like she's now against it. Then I wrote FOH. For those who don't know, that means fuck out of here. You know, FOH. And just saying, concerning, what was that? Yeah, some people are already catching on to the facts. Can I say situation as well? That in a real sense, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, they are both more so pro-establishment than Bernie Sanders, because they are both, we can say, as I said, war hawks. They'd be more prone to use the American military in an unjust manner than Bernie Sanders would be. That's my opinion on that. I really do believe that, because President Obama, I think, has shown more restraint in our foreign policy with our military than Hillary Clinton would have if she had won the nomination from him back in 2008. And it's obvious, though, don't even consider Donald Trump. FOH with him. I'm not going to mention him. Anyway, the prison industrial complex had come up in this particular post concerning Hillary Clinton. And what my friend Desiree has said, she has said the prison complex was institutionalized by career politicians like BS, Bernie Sanders, like I said before. She just used his initials, BS, as if in basically bullshit. Outrageous. But I don't, you know, it's offensive to hear them speak of him in that manner, but somewhere. I started to say neither here nor there, but we have to overlook stuff like that and try to carry on a decent conversation. Anyway, I had replied to that concerning the prison industrial complex. A mechanism was necessary. Let me read that again. Concerning the prison industrial complex, a mechanism was necessary to get the people in prison. The 1994 crime bill was that mechanism, just as a mechanism was needed in Europe to get the Jews out of the societal created ghettos and onto the trains. Final destination, concentration camps. First, the Wannsee Conference took place. That's where the heads of the German military got together and decided on what they came to call the final solution. Anyway, first the Wannsee Conference took place. The mandate went forth. Get them on the trains. In our country, in our time, the mandate went forth. Get them in the prisons. Constitutional safeguards be damned. And then Desiree says, my Facebook friend says, and Bernie signed the 1994 crime bill. Hypocrite, much. In addition, then she goes on to say, gets somewhat disingenuous in my thinking here by trying to confuse the issue. In addition, black people have been victims of the prison industrial complex way before 1994. Bernie Sanders sat in Congress for 35 years and did not do, she says CHIT, but we know what that don't spell but should spell, for POC, people of color. Let's face facts. Then I responded to that by saying, evidently those of us who were going to prison weren't going to prison fast enough for the newly developing prisons being built and those to be built. An impetus was demanded and was given in the 1994 crime bill. Senator Sanders voted for the crime bill along with others, but Senator Sanders included expressed misgivings about that bill. Hillary Clinton wholeheartedly supported it and wasn't even in politics at the time. She was the wife of the super criminal who signed it into law. And then she says, well, and by your own admission, Bernie Sanders did nothing to stand in the way of people of color going to jail fast enough. And then I had to respond to that by saying, well, he did speak of the downside of that bill. The woman you were wholeheartedly in support of was fine with all aspects of that bill and even spoke ill of those whom the bill was directed towards. Senator Sanders is from the state of Vermont. Not a whole lot of black folk in that state. Yet, Senator Sanders was concerned about how it would affect black folk on a national level. In this day, Hillary and Bill Clinton speak about the unintended consequences of that bill. Interestingly, those unintended consequences of that bill is just what Senator Sanders and others warned about. And then she says, another BS lie, another Bernie Sanders lie. He signed it, ergo, he supported it. You and all the BSers, she says that, you and all the BSers, meaning Bernie Sanders, who support Bernie Sanders, obviously cannot do math either. There are more white people in jail than people of color. The 1994 crime bill was not specific to people of color. To hear you tell it, people of color are in jail. Please do the math and cut out the BS. See that she says cut out the BS. You think she means cut out the Bernie Sanders? See? Totally disrespectful toward him and his name because they are so wholeheartedly in favor of Hillary Clinton. Reverently in favor of Hillary Clinton. Anyway, I have responded to that by still having something to say. That's what people say about me often. James, you always got so much to say. Yes, I do. It's just like that. Anyway, I said I have said in response to that there are more whites in jail than blacks. Praise be for that. Not that I'm for whites going to jail over or more than blacks. But there are more whites in any given state in this country than blacks. Ergo, it's logical that more whites would and should be in jail than blacks. Yet, that's not the issue. The issue is that more blacks are in jail based upon our numbers in the population. Concerning the numbers, it could be a truism that more whites are killed by police than are blacks. But based upon our number in the population, more of us are killed by the police than are whites. That's another aspect of the math. Thus, what you're saying is disingenuous, and you used to write, and I'm now telling her that thus what you are saying is disingenuous, and you used to write like you knew what I just said. It must be your affliction. It must be you afflicted with Hillaryitis. I just had to say that. And then she said, no, I'm just not gullible. I'm a pragmatist. That's what she says. Anyway, still somewhat on this, but going on further. Later on Facebook, I happen to have watched a video posting, and I also had read some black guy was talking about the difference between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And I found it interesting. Well, I'll just read what I wrote here. What I wrote here was that in response to having seen or read what he was saying visually and what he had written per word, I have written that I don't even know this guy. And it's interesting. He says some of the exact things I said about my vote and why I'll not vote for Hillary Clinton. Yet, I'll say quickly, her being a woman had zero to do with my decision, just as his does not. As I said before, just as I wouldn't vote for a woman or anyone of the mindset of a Sarah Palin, nor a Michelle Bachmann, nor would I vote for a man or woman of the mindset of Hillary Clinton. No, I didn't vote for her husband, Bill, either. Excuse me. I had to throw that in there. Currently, it's 25 after the hour, and we're going to have another music break. And let's see, what am I going to play here next? I'm going to play another song from Myla J. She's hot on our playlist for the month, Myla J. is. And this is from her song entitled Friends. again from the CoverGirl mixtape. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
Playing it cool, you were playing. I know I wasn't the only one you messed with, but it was good, I was on to the next one. I remember when you started checking up, boy, you must have learned your lesson. Trying to tell me how I always was a blessing. Stayed in the obvious, but you guessed it. Yeah, I got you. Too bad I'm vibing, nigga, I'll be fine without you. Guess you found out all the mother hoes was about shit, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about it.
Go tell your friends about it.
Bitches, now you wishing you was with me, living life so chill. Even all your friends that I was cool with, they don't know that you be on that bullshit. Even though they didn't think that I was stupid, you did. But I ain't tripping, just don't push it. It's cool, I'ma focus on my vision. Cause you only get one pass and you use it. You use it, amusement. So funny how you used to say, have a little. So stupid, and it's so amusing. Your effort is so useless, and now you're gonna waste your time chasing me. Nigga, please, ain't no need to waste your time being caught up over me. Nigga, please, I don't wanna hear about it. You can tell your friends about. Fucking bitches, now you wishing you were with me, living life so chill. Oh, what the fuck was you thinking? You probably wasn't even thinking. Oh, yeah. Now you gotta tell your friends about it. You gotta tell them how you fucked up on the inside. Bitch like me, what the fuck was you thinking?
Welcome back to Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. You listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. We just heard another song from Milo J entitled, what was the title? I think it was Don't. Yes. That was the name of the song. Yes, Don't, from her CoverGirl mixtape. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to hear you, matter of fact. Okay, moving right along, I'm going to go into one of our main issues. This is the issue of President Obama, my nigga. Anyway, I got this article here that says President Obama dropped the mic at his final White House correspondents' dinner on Saturday. And it asks the question, did host Larry Wilmore drop the ball? And it goes further to say that the former Daily Show correspondent and current host of Comedy Central's The Nightly Show roasted celebrities, politicians, and reporters alike at the A-list event, including calling CNN's Don Lemon an alleged journalist. Lemon responded by flipping the bird on camera, though he later said the middle finger gesture was all in good fun and posed for a smiling photo with Wilmore. I happen to have seen, after it had been posted on Facebook, on my Facebook timeline, I figured if I could, I'd pull it up on YouTube or somewhere via the internet, and sure enough, I did. And I've seen the whole thing. Well, not the whole thing, but I had watched what President Obama had to say. I watched his routine, and also watched this Larry Fillmore guy's routine. And just saying, prior to then, I had never heard of this guy in my life. I never had, but that's just the way it is. I don't watch a lot of TV, and that I watch, I don't like. But I can't even say that I watch. More so, most of that I see, I don't like. So therefore, I don't even watch it. It's rare that a TV show or movie will hold my interest in these days. Anyway, the article goes on to say that Wilmore also took shots at Wolf Blitzer and the U.S. Treasury's promise to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. He also mocked comparisons of Ted Cruz to the Zodiac Killer and Zing, both 2016 Democratic presidential candidates. Now, he kind of told some off-center jokes, whatever. And then it goes on to further say, I'm not going to read the so-called jokes that he told. And then it says that several of his jokes drew loud boos, but Wilmore pressed on with shots at President Obama, including using the N-word to refer to the commander-in-chief. And in quotes, what he said here, I saw it too. He said, I saw you hanging out with NBA players like, well, no, this is another one of his off-key jokes. He said, I saw you hanging out with NBA players like Stephen Curry, Golden State Warriors. That was cool, you know. It kind of makes sense, too, because both of you like raining down bombs on people from long distances. That is, he was referring to, I guess, this basketball player, Stephen Curry, long shots or jump shots, whatever, or three-pointers, and then relating that to President Obama and the drone strikes that people talk about him authorizing. And then it goes further to go into the actual quote that he made concerning the word nigger. He said, words alone, at the end of his spiel, his comic routine, he said, words alone do me no justice. So, Mr. President, I'm going to keep it 100. Yo, Barry, you did it, my nigger. He said while pounding his chest, you did it. And then, and I've seen it too. Obama smiled and pounded his chest in return, but few found the humor in Wilmore's racial slur as at the black tie event. And then it goes further to say that some columnists have said, I'm sure the black comedian meant it affectionately, but some people don't think it is ever appropriate to use the word, much less when it involves the president. I'm one of those people. I don't think that's a word. Matter of fact, I try not to use that word. And then again, if I do use that word, it's in a very derogatory fashion. Sometimes I'll even use it in reference to white people or some white person, and that's when I'm upset. Like that MF and nigger, you know. But in a real sense, even then, I'm using the word out of context. I really know that I am. Understand what I just said? I said even when I do use that word referring to white folk, I am using that word out of context. But because it's a word of abuse, I use it abusively toward whomever I fling that word at. Definitely so. Anyway, a lot of people were all over Facebook, and I understand social media commenting about what had taken place there. Okay, and I have some of those comments. Okay. First off, I'll read something that I got from, I think it was TMZ. It says that Larry Wilmore's decision to close the White House correspondent dinner by referring to President Obama as his nigger has sparked the full gamut of reactions from African Americans. Earlier this week, TMZ spoke with actor Ernie Houston to weigh in on Wilmore's use of the word. Wilmore said, Houston said, I don't think it's cool to say nigger to anybody personally. But Obama seemed to roll with pretty much whatever they throw at him. So he's a better man than I am. And the article goes further to say that Reverend Al Sharpton criticized Wilmore for referring to the president this way, saying the colloquialism was used in poor taste. But the article goes further to say the White House defended the comedian, saying Obama appreciated the spirit of Wilmore's intentions behind the remark. And I find that interesting that it says that Obama appreciated the spirit. Check that out. He appreciated the spirit of Wilmore's intention behind the remark. There is no intention behind that remark. Basically, well, we all know what the word means, regardless to what inflection one puts on it or don't put on it, or the intonation that one puts on it or don't put on it. It's an offensive word, an abusive word. And basically, in my thinking, any black person that uses that word, especially toward another black person, I think they're more so ignorant than not. Well, but granted, that word is a word that is, for a lot of us, for a lot of black people, and I guess white people too, it just comes out of habit. But a lot of us today, white folk included, we try to keep that word in check. But then again, those of us who don't feel the need to keep that word in check or don't know enough to keep that word in check, we just use it so effusively, so commonly, you know, and I think it's just wrong. It's just wrong. Okay, I have some more words here. Wait a minute. Because, matter of fact, I was going to read a few articles with that word. But instead, I'm going to go on and read some Facebook comments about that particular word. Okay, one Facebook friend from Facebook has said that, well, this person, no doubt, is not a friend, but is a friend of a friend. And they said that, I found this to be such a strange read. No, they're talking about an article that some black woman had written wherein she was saying that, when she watched that and heard this guy, Wilmore, use that word to President Obama, she said that she felt a sense of black pride. That's what she said. She said that she felt a sense of black pride when this guy had used that word to Obama. But then again, in reading her article, I can somewhat understand why she would say that, because in the article that she had written, she had also written that she was raised by a white family. In other words, I guess she was adopted by a white family, or perhaps her father was black, but her mother, who was white, had raised her. And we know what happens, if we do know what happens in situations like that, that white person raising that black child tries to keep them away from all things that are black. Why? Psychologically speaking, it's because they feel that they have to protect that child from its own blackness, from its own, psychologically speaking, own inherent inferiority. It's almost as if he or she don't know they're inferior, perhaps they can overcome being inferior. A psychological situation, actually. But anyway, another Facebook friend has said that, a Facebook friend of a friend has said, I have been extremely bipolar on this particular matter. I do not feel it was a black pride moment, but I do think it is one of those subversive NWA moments. Nope, it does not and will not advance the culture, but it does express a sentiment that is completely understood by those who fought and still fight in a continuing struggle. I was shocked, mildly amused, but I wasn't mad. And I had to underline that word that he used, subversive, because another Facebook friend, who is a Facebook friend of a Facebook friend, she had also used that word subversive, and I couldn't help but pick up on that word subversive and wonder, how do they mean that it was subversive? But anyway, another person has said, can you say this represents a symptom of the subtle and seemingly innocent subliminal messages that have made someone feel comfortable enough to get a people to disrespect themselves and feel comfortable with it in the highest office, in the highest offices for the world to see. And he says, "Geesh." But also, I want to read this, in, but no, because that's going elsewhere. I won't read that right now. But I'll read some more comments that were made. Okay. Another person has said that what is said to be negative with black people is displayed, shown, said publicly, and the positive things about blacks are greatly admired privately. And she says, in my opinion. And then, this here is pertaining to something else that is something that President Obama has said. But again, before I say this, I want to also back up in reflecting or in speaking on how Obama did take in when that guy, Larry Wilmore, had referred to him as "my nigga." You know, another Facebook friend had said that she wasn't exactly surprised that Obama would have taken in that word the way he did. She said, after all, we have to remember that soon after him having been elected to the presidency, he did refer to himself as being a mutt. Why a mutt? Because of having a black mother and black father, as if he's not, therefore, having a black mother and, well, more so, my mistake, having a white mother and black father, therefore, he's actually neither black or white. So, therefore, he's a mutt. That's how he see himself, or had described himself at that point in time, as a mutt. So, therefore, her, like me, having heard that, thinking, gosh, that's how he see himself as being black? You know, like his humanity is somehow diminished? But anyway, and having said that, now I'll come to during Obama's comic routine there, that function, he also referred to something about CP time, you know, colored people's time, you know. And I have wanted to mention that also in talking about this guy, Larry Wilmore. Excuse me. And I have said, I'm also reflecting on the acronym CP time. Then I ask, who would we think came up with that phrase? Someone black or someone white? If white, we'd imagine one with a racist mindset. If black, what mindset would we attribute to that black person? Really, is it just black folk who come late to functions, or are all people in every culture subject to be late on any given occasion? And then I wrote, if Germans can be late on a given occasion, no, I wrote, even Germans can be late on a given occasions. Why do I write even Germans? Because stereotypically, but a good stereotype, is that Germans are highly punctual, that Germans are never late. And then I went on to write that I once saw a German elderly man almost miss the train. The train was pulling out of the station as he arrived on the platform, late. However, the train conductor had compassion for this elderly gentleman and stopped the train and allowed him to board. Then I just wrote, you know, just writing, all of us on that train applauded that conductor's compassionate action. Yes, we did. And then someone had replied to me by saying, James, my understanding, many cultures have terms like CP time that are common among that group of people. However, where the problem comes is that far too many of what is said to be negative with black people, it is displayed, shown, said publicly, and the positive things about black people are greatly admired. And then, But I had responded to that by saying, yes, but do they call it CPT? Well, yes, but do they call it CPT? That is colored people's time. And he said, of course not. But my point was that black folk ain't got a monopoly on being late or tardy. Then I replied, yes, but that's just it. The phrase implies we do. And then I had written, I bet it was a show white people we better than what they think, Negro, who burden us with that time-conscious condemnation. In a word, the bourgeois Negro, the status-seeking Negro. Anyway, I'm coming back to that word subversive, but I'm going to have to stop there for the moment because we're going to have to take another music break because it is that time. Okay, and we're going to hear a song now from Lydia Caesar entitled Lifted. So this is a song from Lydia Caesar, her song entitled Lifted. Here we go.
Lydia Caesar. Got a remix for ya. Yeah. Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Got to admit, I'm addicted. Ooh, 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 ooh. Cause you like a hit of the best lift. Boy, you got that ooh, 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 ooh. When I need a fix, you pull up some tricks. And I be like, ooh, 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 ooh. My man, he got the golden glove, the Midas touch. Loving like, ooh. He know I can never get enough. My favorite drug, overdosing on you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no. I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine. He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way. Euphoria, I want more, yeah. Baby, take me higher.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted, yeah.
Got to admit, I'm addicted, baby. For a sweet lips, the way we kiss, body like ooh, strung out on his fingertips, with every grip I fall deeper into you. Cause men, I want no ordinary love. Oh no, I went and found my diamond in the rough. Now he's mine.
He ain't flawless and I love him either way. And I know to make him feel some type of way.
Every time you come around, I get so lifted. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Back to Indy Morrell's Dial House Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And I'm just saying, while the music was playing, I was ruffling back through my notes to that article that I was going to read into the show. But instead, I decided to read some comments that were posted about the article into the show. But anyway, the article, I think that if you're interested, you might want to read that article, is from someone named Rebecca Carroll. You can bring up her on the internet, no doubt. She's a writer for some magazine. I'm not sure which one it is. But the article is entitled President Obama's Final White House Correspondents' Dinner as It Happened. And her name is Rebecca Carroll. I read the article, and I'm not even in agreement with it. Let me rephrase that. I'm not even in agreement with it. She's talking about she felt some kind of black pride when she heard the president of the United States, because he's black, being referred to as my nigga. I think that being that they were, well, some black people. See, I mean, some black people just are, I'm gonna say, just fucking crazy. I mean, they were even saying that Bill Clinton was black. So I think maybe that guy, Larry Wilmore, would have been better calling Bill Clinton his nigger. Just saying. Had to knock down something gesticulating. Well, anyway, he, I think, would have been better calling Bill Clinton his nigger because, again, the word would have been used totally out of context. By referring to President Obama as my nigger, I mean, all white people know that black people are, in their minds, niggers, basically. Another issue, but that is the issue. But anyway, earlier in one of the statements, Facebook statements I was reading, the word subversive was used. And supposedly the guy who used the statement supposedly explained what he meant in saying that that Larry Wilmore had used that word in a subversive manner. I disagree. But anyway, thinking about what he has said, then later on I came back to post these words. I said, there's that word subversive again, Khalil. His name is Khalil, this Facebook friend of my Facebook friend. I said, there's that word subversive again, Khalil. Another Facebook friend of Stacy's and mine has used that word in the context of this subject. Question. To whom is this a form of subversion towards? Black folk or white folk? To whom is the undermining directed towards? Just asking. Interestingly, I'm thinking of how Ralph Ellison used this word in his book, The Invisible Man. Because Ralph Ellison did use that word, subversive, in his book, Invisible Man, concerning a certain action that he was undertaking at the moment. It was interesting the way he used the word, and that word was used in the proper context. Because what he, Ralph Ellison, was doing, per his character in Invisible Man, it was a kind of subversion. And he even said so, that it's a kind of subversion, you understand. Interesting book, The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. You ought to get that book and read it, whomever is concerned about these kind of issues. Anyway, the person who used that word subversion, has said, great question. And he explains what he meant, but not to me. So he said, great question. The word is subversive to the establishment. The mere fact that most racial slurs are taken by the victim and used by the culture to have a different context shows the subversiveness of the word. It dares the establishment with, no, you can't use that word. I got to say to that, bull cookies, basically. Because basically, it was those in the establishment who first tarred us with that word, nigger. I mean, it's their word. They know what it means, regardless to what meaning we seek to ascribe to it. They know what it means. And then again, in a larger context, those of us who use that word have been, our minds have been subverted, in a sense, to take on that word onto ourselves in whatever manner we claim that we mean it, in a negative aspect or even, as we claim, in a positive aspect. The word is totally negative, and the word itself is subversive to whom it is used towards. And in this case, it's used toward black people, and the word is to subvert our humanity in a real sense. Yes, it is. The word itself is subversive, to subvert and or to belittle our humanity, to belittle our existence. Yes, it is, regardless of what anybody says. In my opinion, those who think differently, that's some psychological nonsense that they're trying to throw on us. That's my opinion about that. Anyway, so time is moving right along. We got about 5 minutes left for the show. Boy, how time does go swiftly. And then again, I guess because, well, there's so much to speak about and there's so much to speak into what is being spoken about. Very much interesting. Very much interesting. Okay, and then also, let me try to get this right here, because something else was said, and my response was somewhat like I had just said there. Let's see. Okay. Someone else has said, I have to admit, I felt some pride myself. He stole the moment from the institution of the whole thing. Historical, white presidential, and with, I don't know what he meant by that. But anyway, I'll skip that part. I'll try to start again. He said, I have to admit, I felt some pride myself. He stole the moment from the institution of the whole thing. He wasn't funny, yet he was so rude that I laughed. I took him as saying that Obama is something or another. I don't know what he's trying to say there. But in essence, he was also, or even that writer of this article, this Carroll person, this Rebecca Carroll, in the article, she had even alluded to what many people do say and or believe or want to believe. These people feel that black people have a right or more of a right to use the word nigger than white people do, which I think is totally asinine. But anyway, in reference to that, I had responded, so I see here, I had said that, excuse me, I had said, but that's just it. We're all free in this existence. Yet freedom comes with responsibilities. We have to explain to someone, I can do this, but you can't. If something is wrong for you, it is by inference wrong for me too. That's how I see that. In other words, if I can't say something or shouldn't say something, neither should you. And conversely, if you can't say something, if you can't, or if there's something you shouldn't say, that same thing that you shouldn't be able to say, neither should I be able to say. Because, again, it's a thing about equality. So, okay, time has run out on the show. So, being that time has run out on the show, I'm going to try to pull up, well, if my cursor will move, but it's not really moving anything here. So, I'm going to have to, I can't even do it. Wow, my cursor isn't even moving like it should move. It's not moving up or down. But anyway, I was told that we have like a few minutes left of the show, not even minutes, but we only have seconds left of the show. And there were some more things I wanted to say, well, on something else, but I guess I won't have time to go there. So I'm just going to put on a song here. Being this thing won't really move, this is terrible. But anyway, I'm going to say this has been Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones, here on Indy Morell's Dollhouse Radio, signing off to you all tonight, and hopefully you all will tune in next week. So until then, you'll have a good week. Till then, good night.